You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
There are dangers to doing this live, but not when Greg Cody is late and rushed and we run the risk of him just storming in at any point because he doesn't know we've already begun, that we're not taping, that we're on air. Chris Cody is shaking his head, disgusted, in the other room, not disgusted by the salami near his knees, not disgusted by the wine and the sponsor, Mayomi.
There's salami?
There's salami. That's Chris Cody is sitting outside the studio and is happy to because there's a charcuterie out there. Chris Cody, no, your mic's not on. I can't hear you, buddy.
My happy place, Dano. In front of cheese, looking at meat. Oh, perfect.
Why are you out there?
Hubba hubba.
Wait, there's cheese?
We are watching the U.S. Open with Mayomi. My dad is late. There's an empty spot on the couch. I am so livid right now. We can get into it. I don't know if you want to do this off the top, but my dad is how old? 60-something years old, has no concept of time, has no concept of traffic in Miami, in any normal place in America at this time of day. Traffic's bad. I don't get me started.
You know
right
what?
Now.
I think we should thank Greg Cody because he was already in once this week. He decided to be a team player, coming a second day this week to come and watch golf. Then you switch up the time on him and you expect him to just kind of come in and be ready to go.
I love that Billy brings that up because my dad's already mentioned that. Like, second time this week. Like,
yeah.
My dad is a diva. Is there a less qualified diva in the world than Greg Cody?
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Is there a less qualified diva than anyone in the world? Does he know to go out there? Have you informed him that we're live? Because I can see him coming in here and doing something inappropriate. I can see him just coming in here.
Just nude.
Just because this door is open, thinking that he could just sit down, that we're not taping. Is he aware that we are on air? Well, our other guest is late, too. We've got a surprise person who's going to spend a couple of hours.
Maybe it's us. Like to have fun.
Maybe we're the problem.
Maybe we're just too early.
How are all the guests?
Maybe we're early.
How are all the guests wrong? Maybe it's us.
And yes, Dan, to answer your question, he knows he's supposed to come out here. I told him he could forget because he's my dad and he's infuriating. So he might just go in there, but I told him we're live. I told him to come over here.
All right.
But we're having fun.
Yeah, we're not having fun yet. This is not yet fun. You are near the salami.
Can you eat brie like pizza?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Put a little salami on it, like pepperoni.
I just tried.
Brizza.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show, please. Are you having a great Thursday morning if it's 10 a.m., 9 a.m., and you're having salami?
Yeah, I just had a piece.
No, it's not a taste that blends well with the morning. Really?
You don't put salami with your eggs sometimes?
It has to be high noon before you can have any salami.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is salami a taste that blends well with your life before noon?
Brie, like pizza, is strong.
Yeah, too strong. No, too strong. No, pizza. I thought that was a very bad idea. You just threw a chunk of brie in your face.
I just ate a giant bite of brie.
That's too much.
Wait, why did we put the charcuterie board out at 9 a.m.?
Why did we do that?
It's set decoration. We're doing television, baby.
Okay, but decoration.
Thank you for nothing. We made it, boys and girls. Gutfeld. Tafoya says she was ambushed by our podcast on Gutfeld. Gutfeld sounds to me, it seems really hard to think of a conservative late night type of talk show. And evidently this one is successful because...
I mean, they can put anything on Fox News. There's a market. 1.8 million people will watch it.
There's a market. But just Gutfeld as a couple of syllables are comedically funny as just... This doesn't need to be respected.
Dan Gutfull.
How can you be complaining? That was terrible.
Witty and Jess played soccer last night. Witty has come in sore and complaining. Jess is kind of beaming. How did soccer go?
My neck is in pain, Dan. Witty is a brick wall. I think I've said that before on the show. But that dude takes so many shots. He just dives in front of every ball. Nothing gets in the net behind him. It's unbelievable. We also were playing last night. I checked the temperature after we left. I know it's hot everywhere right now. There's a massive heat wave across the country. I'm not claiming Miami is any hotter than wherever you are, listener.
Well, it's snowing in Mexico City.
Normal
climate things. Yeah, anyways,
just normal climate.
It was 96 degrees last night with 75% humidity. And Chris Whittingham played soccer in pants.
I like playing soccer in sweatpants for whatever reason.
Like Lululemon type of pants?
Yesterday I was. Now, most of that was because I hadn't really planned. I thought I was going to go home, but I didn't go home to change. So what I showed up in here at work yesterday is what I wore to go play soccer. I didn't even have long socks. Could have shredded an ankle last night, but thankfully all turned out okay.
I actually thought of an invention while we were playing last night, which I ran by Witty. I don't think he thinks it's a good idea, but I think, Dan, you might. Have you ever played any sort of sporting activity on turf?
Just like whirly ball in a bumper car.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so if you go on turf, you notice there's a lot of like debris on the field. I'm not talking about like the rubber pellets. I mean, like last night I was putting on my boots and there was a fake nail on the turf. Huh. Just like a fake nail extension. And I was thinking someone should invent...
Very Miami.
Yeah, that's true. And there was an eyelash next to it. Someone should invent... a vacuum for turf that doesn't pick up the actual rubber turf, but it picks up all the trash from the field. So someone could just kind of go over it like a lawnmower and suck up
because
all
you are
the
disgusted
debris.
By just the debris in the turf that you're playing on unclean turf that's filled with eyelashes and nails.
Yeah, I mean, nails are one of the more jarring things you could see and be like, oh, that's a nail. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever been in, like, a public restroom or like, even, like, a friend's house.
Yes.
And you're in the bathroom and there's just, a fingernail or, like, a toenail in the sink. And you're like, why is there a nail here?
No, wait a minute. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Have you been in a friend's house and in their bathroom there's a toenail in the sink? At Levitard Show.
I found one of my own nails the other day, and it was disgusting. It disgusted me. I knew it was mine because my nail broke.
The nails of others, yes, thank you.
Nails are disgusting, but there was a nail in the field, and I was like, we should get some sort of vacuum to suck this thing up.
Did you know that the USA played El Salvador on Tuesday in men's soccer? No. And they drew 1-1, and... Before the game, there was concern in the buildup because they held a concert at the stadium they were playing at in El Salvador. And as a result, there was metal in the pitch. So there was a very real chance that someone would go in for a slide tackle.
Nice.
And have a chunk of metal gash their leg.
Do we need nails anymore?
Like fingernails?
Yeah. Like, we moved for what? Like, I feel like we've invented whatever it is that we would need. No, I mean...
Picking up shit off the floor.
Yes, Chris Cody. Having long nails is the best. So Miami's very trendy to have long, like, sharp fingernails. So I got on, like, the long fingernail bandwagon, Dan. This is where having another, you know, woman in the office would like be able to support me and lift me up. Instead, you guys all just stare at me blankly. But I got on the long nail bandwagon. Oh, clacking away at my TikTok. It's the best sound in the world. I just clack, 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 clack. You pick stuff up better. You can use it to like use it as a utensil sometimes.
The best sound in the world.
The best.
Yes, I mean, that's very, that's unhygienic. Like,
what do you mean?
Like going to the bathroom with long nails?
Great question.
That just doesn't seem
Explain.
Very hygienic. Like, you got to hold the tissue paper.
You're saying that wiping with long nails is bad?
Ew. Yeah.
Huh.
Why? What would happen?
Thank you, Billy.
That's great.
Why don't you tell us, Billy?
I'm asking. I don't know the answer to the question.
You're just curious.
I'm asking the question.
You're just a bit curious. Whittingham, I don't want to move off the subject of you played a soccer game in full work clothes? Like you were basically playing.
Yes.
Least surprising thing ever.
Is it? Wait a minute. Is it not surprising?
I mean, if someone was going to do it, it'd be witty.
But if I drove past any soccer field in America where people were playing and there was one weirdo in dress clothes, I'd be like, what happened to him?
It's a bold move, kind of like Naomi Wine.
Naomi Wine's a bold move?
It's a bold
one. Chunkiner!
What kind of sponsorship did they buy? They bought like stand-up
I'm
comedian.
Working in some stuff. Guys, don't keep the train moving.
The other thing that's ironic about Witty wearing like show like work clothes is that he's the only one who actually like dresses for work other than Roy. Roy wears jeans sometimes. But if Chris Cody or Billy or even Mike showed up to soccer in their work clothes, like they'd be fine because they all wear workout
clothes. I wore a soccer jersey and joggers to work yesterday. Like, I was okay.
It was 1,000 degrees, Dan.
It's just going to get worse. Again, there were 7 tornadoes in, where even was it? 7 tornadoes?
Oh, I think in Chicago. Yeah, I think there were tornadoes in Chicago, yeah.
And as I mentioned, I think snow in Mexico City. And
you guys don't have tornadoes down here, right? Just
no, we do.
Not yet.
During hurricanes. So that's like the added bonus of hurricanes is that it comes with tornadoes. If you get like a proper hurricane, like a lot of the damage comes from tornadoes.
Cyclones.
That are spun off of the hurricane.
Cyclones too, yes. It's been fine until now, Jessica. It's largely been fine. There was Hurricane Andrew. There have been a couple of calamities, but largely... Before we started going to Category 6s and we screwed with the earth so much through extracting of all oils, now it is a genuinely terrifying place to live. At a time when the country is upside down because the government told you, government agencies told you last year gas was going to be $3 a gallon by now. You see what's happening to gas prices. Inflation is run amok, and now we've got climate crisis in every direction.
Our show's off to a good start.
Yeah, Colorado drought. No, we don't want to talk.
Yellowstone floods.
There's just like, it's 100 degrees everywhere in the country. I was talking to my dad, he's in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's 100 degrees there. It's 100 degrees literally everywhere in the country. Except for here, oddly. Here it never really gets above 88. It just feels like 1,000 degrees.
No, it was 100 degrees on Monday after
No,
work.
It's always the feels like. It's always when you factor in humidity. You'll never actually see it be 100 degrees here. It's so damn humid.
I wanted to talk to you guys about something that happened yesterday in baseball. Miles Mikolas for the St. Louis Cardinals, who has what I think is a terrible mustache, but now Tony came in today and he's wearing the same terrible mustache.
It's like a Jason Sudeikis, but
what do you mean terrible? What is that supposed to mean?
It's, well, see, Tony is on the cutting edge of trends and whatnot. Tony is a fashionable person, and I thought that the Mikolas mustache was absurd, but you've come in wearing the same absurd mustache today.
Well, Dan, if you look at it, obviously the vibe right now is Top Gun Miles Teller with the mustache. Yeah. I was doing it obviously way before that, as we know.
What?
But I was watching the Ricky Weed Farm video, by the way, that came out yesterday on YouTube.
Wow.
And I had a mustache at that point. I was like, you know what? I'm going to bring it back.
Funny that you should mention this, because we've got here commenting on the Ricky Weed Farm video. Somebody writes in, the Ricky Weed Farm video was just as expected, totally underwhelming and basic.
Is that guy?
It's actually...
Yes, you want to finish the thought?
I didn't know if my mic was on. It's actually genius by us, because that video did... is way more popular than it would have been if we released it like normal. Look at
Ackley.
Us.
Thank Genius. You, Chris.
They spent months. I should welcome in Izzy. It is nice to see you. Everyone is happy that you came in. Thank you for doing so discreetly. It's a bit confusing.
I have no idea what's going on.
Why
here.
It is Greg Cody still hasn't arrived, Chris. Didn't he leave at 8 a.m.?
I am so mad right now.
I can tell you why. It's horrible traffic. Like, I had to get way off of 95 just to get back here.
Imagine that. At 8:30 in the morning, there's terrible traffic.
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm more mad at my dad. I'm sorry, Izzy. I don't mean to take that out on you.
Billy, as an agent of chaos, when you see...
I feel like Hoda today.
Because you're holding a glass of wine.
Yeah, I just get to do the show holding a glass of wine thanks to Mayomi Wines. This is great. I'm having fun.
I thought that you would be enjoying yesterday that a pitcher came one strike from a no-hitter. He's got a 2-2 pitch he's throwing. It is a hellacious curveball. Hellacious curveball. Hit as hard can be center field. Maybe a great center fielder like Jim Edmonds makes the catch to end the game. But the no-hitter was broken up right there, and I thought that you would enjoy a no-hitter broken up that way, one pitch away. You throw a great pitch and it just happens to fall apart right there.
I would enjoy a no-hitter being broken up if it was against my team on the last pitch or if it was my rival team. Other than that, I'd be probably rooting for it. Actually, if I was at home, I don't think I would cheer for a no-hitter against my own team. It's rough. Would you? That wasn't the case. They were in St. Louis, but...
You look ridiculous holding the glass of wine. Like it just doesn't fit you. You with a glass of wine, it doesn't. It's not.
How so?
We're in a mask.
What kind of drink is like the Billy Gill thing that you picture him drinking?
Go-gurt. Yeah, wait.
Go-gurt?
Mainly's for people of all ages over 21, I'll have you know.
He's got it right. I think as a spokesman, if you were to actually make yourself open for business right now, not just with Mayomi Wine, but open for anybody to have product placement in our show, wouldn't it be Go-Gurt or something like Go-Gurt that you would go with?
No. Currently, it's CBDMD because it helps with my back pains. The roll-on pain
smooth
reliever.
Billy. Cat food?
Thanks, Chris.
Chris, where is your father?
He just texted me he's in the parking garage, so we're getting there.
Tell him there's a turd on the third floor of the stairs. It's like in between the third and fourth floor.
Oh, yeah.
It's like perfectly formed. It's just sitting right there.
I mean,
I should have taken a picture of it. You're right.
I simply cannot explain to the rest of the country how lawless South Florida has become. I say it through laughter and tears. I saw bullets on the floor in the alley the other day near the human turd that Izzy speaks of.
How's that stairwell always wet?
Yeah, it is always. Their solution to cleaning the most foul place on the planet is to just let off a water hose from the top floor and let the water run down.
No.
As if that's helping.
No, there's one dude up there who dumps two buckets of bleach and hopes they get down to the fourth floor.
Bleach is not nearly enough. There is not there's not a cleaning product with enough power in the universe to clean that stairwell. Is the turd on the stairwell or is it in and amongst the parking spots?
No, it's on the whatever the flat platform is when you're switching from one stairs to the other. Yeah. And honestly, I noticed it after I passed it. So it was like kind of a close call there.
Are we sure not a dog turd? Because I've noticed there's a lot of dog turds that get left on the sidewalk around
here. You know how I know it's not?
In a garage?
Actually, I don't know it. It's not. But it kind of like curves and then like comes together. It kind of spells like a U that where all the parts touch. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely like a human turd. It's not just a dog.
Who took a picture of the turd? Oh. Why? Why?
We have photographic
confirmation.
Evidence of the
That's
turd.
That's the one.
All right. Well, they fixed that elevator right on time because it was broken yesterday.
Were you anticipating this conversation or do you just collect turd pictures?
Well, he was ahead of me because I should have taken a picture of it. He just saw it, took a picture of it, probably thinking that this could come up.
Great job. You were playing on rival.
Whoever you
wrong.
Are.
That's a walk by and instantly repress type thing. Like I walk by it, I see it, I acknowledge it, I never think about it again.
I'm scared that I walk by it and didn't notice it because
everything else is so foul that it just sort of blends in.
It blends in with the scenery. But it's more that like there's a very real chance I could have stepped in it and not realized.
One of the many things I like to do on a nice South Florida morning where anarchy has reigned the night before and there's just the debris from last night's party in the street and you see, oh, there are a pair of underwear over there. I wonder what the backstory there was. You guys all walk past this turd without trying to wonder for a moment. What preceded this?
No, I mean, I absolutely
What preceded the decision to somebody said, this is where I need to poop. There is nowhere else to go. I need to do this right here in a stairwell of a foul of the third floor of a garage.
I'm going to guess the person who did it, that was probably one of the more private places they've pooped.
There are public restrooms over here. There are public
Which are
restrooms.
More gross than those stairwells.
Okay, really? Okay. At Levitard Show, Guillermo, are the public restrooms grosser than the parking garage stairwell urine-smelling scent?
Where are there public bathrooms around here? Because there was one time where, so I walked out of this studio once, and I was like, I don't want to go back in, go all the way up, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up walking like a four-block radius around here trying to find a bathroom where like the restroom or like the restaurant wouldn't let me use their bathroom without a key here unless I bought something. And I ended up walking around for 20. I could have just walked back into work and used this bathroom. Not that, you know, the bathroom
this
here
one
is,
might be worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but either way, like there was no bathroom to be found anywhere in sight.
Hey,
it's a terrible
look
place.
Who the cat dragged in.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Levitard.
I got somebody here making fun of me. How old do you have to be to reference Shecky Green? Man, I went comedically there with the funny name of a comedian. Mm-hmm. That's on you for not knowing who Shecky Green is.
Oh, you
got to
know who Shecky Green is.
No, you don't have to know who Shecky Green is. But
your ally.
I don't like my allies.
King
here.
Of the Borscht Belt.
Stugatz.
I have the soul of a Borscht Belt comedian. I should be in the Catskills in 1945. Opening for Shecky Green. That's who I was destined to be.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Greg Cody has just wandered into the building. Is he holding that 19...
Straight out of Margaritaville.
Look at him. He's pissed, too.
Margaritaville's a great retirement community. I cannot wait until I turn 55.
Same.
Do not get me wrong.
Dude, I can't wait to live in a retirement community.
What? Oh, great.
Oh, amongst so the amazing. Parrot heads?
Yeah.
Well, no kids. That sad?
One or two kids, but not a lot. Jess would love it.
Hang on to your last vestiges of youth before you turn in your... Like, you're going to turn 55 and walk straight into the 55-plus place?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 55, not like... Like, I plan on living until I'm 120, so
exactly
I got plenty of time.
Exactly right, yeah. I said the other day I probably wasn't going to get to 70, and people were like, oh, can you say that? Oh. Like, I just want to get to 55, search for Lost Seeker of Salt, you know what I mean?
Why are you so old?
I don't know. I was born that way.
Why? You came out an elderly person. Why are you so eager to get to a retirement home? You have a one-year-old. You just got to adulthood.
Yeah. And?
And you want to play shuffleboard?
Hell yeah. Shuffleboard's dope. You don't like shuffleboard?
Shuffleboard is great. Shuffleboard is great. I can't argue with that.
Except the little thing hurts your feet when you stand on it without sandals.
What thing? No, don't tell me.
Like the shuffleboard. Like the the shuffleboard, I don't know, what do you call it? The floor of the shuffleboard.
The court? Well, yeah, what is the shuffleboard court that you play on?
Like the ones at pools where the water goes like down.
No, those are bullshit.
Hurts
sorry.
Your feet.
No, those little rubber ones, the absolute enemy of a real shuffleboard is. You know what I mean? You can't, there's too much friction there.
Real
you can't have that
no.
friction. Exactly right. Exactly. Izzy knows. Izzy?
I live in a community that really, really wants to be 55 and older.
You'll
I'm
get
pretty
there.
Sure I'm one of the youngest people there. I know Anthony's one of the youngest people there. And so we have shuffleboard in our community. We have a lot of pickleball in our community. And so, yeah, it's for you.
Oh,
it is for you. Buddy. Come on, we'll go on the boat.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. I was told that pickleball is having a giant moment, and that actually someone was trying to tell me that Metalurk should start a pickleball podcast and get in early on this.
Billy, did you see what happened a few days ago? This woman was at this park in Pittsburgh, and these three guys were playing pickleball, and she joined them, and it turns out she was playing pickleball with Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, and Alex Highsmith, and they all took a picture together. Apparently her and Minka Fitzpatrick whooped the other two's ass. And then they signed him the next day, Dan. So I think the pickleball skills.
$80 million, right? They gave Minka Fitzpatrick, and the Dolphins did what with everything that was Minka Fitzpatrick related?
So I'll try and remember. I think that they used that pick to draft Austin Jackson, who's been a pretty bad offensive lineman, another first round offensive lineman that has not done well for them. But it's one of those cases where. You let a really good player go, he goes and plays really well somewhere else, but they don't really regret it because they were amazing on defense these last couple of years. So maybe they could have been even better with Minka Fitzpatrick, but it's one where it was a terrible trade, but I feel like they still have some capital just based off of how much they've gotten out of one Laramie Tunsil.
It's a good thing that we have a Dolphin expert here. Ooh. Winded and Wheezing, a Miami Herald icon, expert. Has come into the room. His shirt is untucked. He does look like he is right out of Margaritaville. I would like all his opinions on retirement community living. And I also want an explanation and an apology to your son as to why it is you're so late.
I can't control the traffic, Dan.
Yes, but you can anticipate it.
No, not really. Not when two separate lanes of the express lanes are closed. It was a nightmare. You know, it's going from one to the other, and two accidents foul everything up.
Nothing you could have done differently.
Well, I mean, I could have left the house at 6 a.m., I guess, but, you know, you don't anticipate that kind of thing. I did everything I could. I apologize for being late. I'm rarely late, especially lately am I rarely late, as Levitard will attest. I'm going to be the mayor of Margaritaville, by the way, if I ever choose to live there. But we're not there yet. We're still in a residential community, not even a gated community, and we're happy.
Billy, I have access to a Margaritaville, actually.
Do you? The one in Hollywood?
No, it's in Daytona. You're going to have to make a trip with me.
How do you?
But we can get it.
Down. Did you guys see Greg speaking of Margaritaville? And I know you're a big cruiser. You see they're on Margaritaville cruise ship now?
I did hear that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it.
Let's do it.
But only if Jimmy's going to be there. If Jimmy's not on board wearing a Navy hat, I'm not interested.
Dad, you looking a little off? Are you a visor guy? Not everyone's a visor guy. Izzy, you're not a visor guy. Dan, you look like maybe in your 20s you were a visor guy, but not anymore. Billy seems like he could still be a visor guy. Roy, definitely a visor guy. Tony has never worn a visor. Jess, visor person.
Mm-hmm.
Witty.
No way. Can't cover that.
Yeah, you got to wear a visor. Witty's a visor. Dad, put the visor on.
All right, hang on. I've never worn a visor in my life.
Neither
I would advise her against
my dad, growing up, Uncle Dick called my dad the point. So actually, you'd think because his head is pointed.
Tiny.
Is your father winded, Chris? Is your father winded from the stairs? Greg, did you see a human turd on the stairwell?
No, I missed that.
Wow. Check your shoes. Maybe you did it.
Yeah. Check your shoes.
It doesn't even fit me, this
visor. A visor makes him look even older.
It's sitting on the top of my head because it's not fitted right. What's with a visor? It's like half a hat. It's like you couldn't afford a whole hat, so you got the brim and the back, and you couldn't afford the dome. It's ridiculous, visors. Oh, I'm Steve Spurrier sitting here. What's going on? I'm getting ready to fling my visor at an SEC back judge.
This is season 3 of Hacks, I think.
It's ridiculous. How do you fit one of these things? It's not even on me right.
It's winded, Catskill.
I'm not winded. Got plenty of wind.
You sound great.
I can play a whole set of tennis.
One whole set, eh?
All of this, by the way. Oh, God.
All of this is brought to you.
You hear the brie? Did you hear the brie?
Mayomi Wine brought to you the Cody family.
Can I get some breakfast wine, please? Like, what's going on here?
The Cody family, if you want things sponsored in a way that's regal and responsible, if you want to give off grace to the masses, if you want to show America what's a fine spirit that supports anarchy, the Codys bring you. Greg, what is the wine?
Mayomi.
Mayomi Wines, the official favorite wine of dads everywhere. Yep.
Oh, it's a Father's Day promotion.
Yes, it's the official wine of Greg Cody, he has claimed.
And my wife, by the way. Big Mayomi drinker.
What about daddies?
Izzy, I wanted, as the NBA Finals tonight, enter Game 6 with Boston and Jason Tatum. The story has become, it's funny how it switches from game to game, right? Because Tatum has come through this labyrinth to get very close to the throne. He's an excellent player. Golden State's great at defense. And in the fourth quarter, he has indeed evaporated as Steph Curry in some of the games has taken over the game. And in the last one, Steph Curry didn't have anything to do with it.
You know what's interesting? So I was roasted for about a game and a half, mostly from Mike Ryan. But roasted for a game and a half for giving Jimmy Butler the excuse of having a knee injury. And then when he bounced back from it, I'm just like, you know what? I probably shouldn't have said anything because that guy, you know, sort of bounced back and was tough and whatever, did what he needed to do, did enough for his team to win. Everybody else just didn't. With Jason Tatum, it just feels like people are trying to grant him excuses. When if you look at the way these games constantly go, it's Jaylen Brown starting off being aggressive, really starting to set the tone with that offense. And Jason Tatum lately has been, now granted, he's getting a lot of credit for getting off the ball quicker, which was something that a lot of people have begged him to do for years.
They've wanted him to be a playmaker. He had 13 assists. In the game, he was 3-for-17, game one. Mm-hmm. They won with him just opening up the floor.
But when he's driving to attack, he's no longer really looking for his shot. A lot of the time. And when he is taking a shot, it's sort of a rushed shot. He's complaining after every single drive, every non-call. And it's disappointing. You know, I thought this was potentially a coronation for him. I thought the toughest defenses he'd already gotten past when you've got, you know, the Golden State Warriors who don't really protect the rim as well. And he just hasn't done that. You know, he's seen swarming defenses before. This isn't the first time. And he hasn't done that. And then in fourth quarters, when it's really up to him, you know, unless he's hitting a couple of threes off of, you know, kickouts, not really doing much. So it's just largely disappointing because I'm with Stan Van Gundy on this one. I thought after a few games, and I thought going in that they were going to be sort of the bully of the series, and they've just sort of backed down, and it's largely, in my opinion, because of him.
I think that my analysis of sports has gotten wimpier as I have aged because if Jason Tatum is this kind of bad after we have seen healthier Jason Tatum be excellent. They were the best team in the sport the second half of the season. He was clearly on the ascent. The way that he can make threes and is kind of unstoppable without fouling him, liquidy going to the rim, that can be special for 10 years. We all know it. He was clearly hurt, writhing around. Now, maybe it's dramatics, maybe it's theatrics, but Stan Van Gundy and you and everyone else who dismisses the idea of, well, if someone is statistically this much worse, doesn't their body being right at the end of a really hard season have anything to do with it? Because nobody's out here killing Robert Williams for if he would just stay healthy, if he would just play 40 minutes, Golden State would have lost already.
Well, nobody's killing Robert Williams. Robert Williams might be killing his career by playing in these playoffs. Like, he probably did rushed through, you know, shaving that meniscus. And
should we be doing that?
No. Because if he doesn't win, this is probably as close as this group is going to get. You know, they could upgrade, but where? You know, and they seem pretty loaded. So I don't know if the Jason Tatum thing, this is one of those deals where after the Jimmy Butler situation, it's like, you know what? That's right. I'm not giving anybody any more excuses. And it's not as if he is taking the same shots he normally takes and is missing some. Like I said, when he's driving, he's just not looking like he's under control. He's not looking as fluid as you just described him when he's going to the rim.
When you say, this is what's confusing to me about the way we do the analysis on this, because You've had your mind flipped by not understanding how Jimmy Butler went from a corpse in game 4 and 5 to right back to Michael Jordan in game 6 and 7. I don't understand it either. I thought the Miami Heat were going to lose, fold it up, lose by 30 at Boston game 6, because I thought Jimmy Butler couldn't do anything against Robert Williams with his legs being like that. You've had your mind changed by that. All I am is more confused by it. Like, I don't understand how Jimmy Butler went from incompetent at basketball game 4 and 5 because his body was clearly not right to, wait a minute, he's okay again. And I've got someone like Stan, whose opinion I respect, saying, yep, you get out there no matter how injured you are. And I would just think, if I was in the position of having all these lights on me and my body didn't feel right, I'd kind of want to tell everybody, hey, I'm not quite 100% here.
Right. And Jimmy did the opposite. He took himself off the injury list going into that game 5, and you could tell he wasn't right. But the reason that I felt like, okay, after watching that, I've changed my mind, I would rather blame him, Jimmy, for that game 5 beginning, where it was just flat, not aggressive, just kind of letting the Celtics dictate. And if it's a must win, you just got to, as you like to say, throw your neck at the rim in those spots and get some calls. And he just didn't do that. And it seemed, because he was out there, was still capable of doing that, because what we saw in games 6 and 7 was still capable of doing that. So I'd rather get on him about that. And not performing in that spot than just granting Jason Tatum these excuses when, yes, he was writhing in pain, but he came back in the exact same game.
We are going to do this analysis then. This is how it's going to become. Right now, as we speak of it, man, Jason Tatum, this labyrinth, you've been the story, the narrative. It's going to be your league now. Everybody wants the Celtics to matter. You're the kind of superstar, young superstar, anyone can embrace. You're about good things. You're humble. You don't get in trouble. Everybody can root for you. You can be a next face of the league. You're saying right now, question it. Where you been? Fourth quarter. You're telling me that the metrics on Jason Tatum can be made accurately in the next two games. If he goes for 35 in the next two games and does it efficiently and they win, even though the game they won in the series earlier was him 3 for 17, you're telling me the next two games, Jason Tatum can rewrite how we look at him, even though he's not a lesser or better player, depending on what the next two games produce.
It depends on how it looks. If it's because we've gotten on Steph Curry time and again, or some people have, for not performing in the finals enough to the standard. He hasn't won a finals. Look what he did in the game 4, where everybody said going in, well, I don't know if everybody said, I said it. Everybody said going in, somebody's got to carry them. It's only going to be him. There's nobody else on that team that can do it. He went out there. He did exactly that. If Jason Tatum is the sort of recipient of a bunch of good Boston offense and hits some shots, well, he just was that. But if he is the guy who put his team on his back, drove, got to the foul line 12, 14 times, and looked like he was going to carry them and not, you know,
but that's what it needs to be. You're
absolutely
saying that the next two games are the measurement on what this man is as a player. That if he goes and gets, if he's aggressive, and that we're going to do this over two games.
It's not the end of the measurement, because he's 24 years old and has more opportunities to do this. Like, how old is Jimmy Butler, right? So, but theoretically, Jason Tatum's got more than a decade to get this right. But right now, the judgment is right now. That's part of the problem with sports debate these days. It's just like, we're talking about these statements and we have to hang on to them for the rest of time. Hell, I said James Harden wasn't going to be good in Houston. You think I sat on that and just like, oh, that guy's terrible? No, I just said, my bad. And so every once in a while, we can change our opinions. Right now, Jason Tatum has been disappointing in this series. Just has been.
And there's also an assumption that, you know, Boston will continue to be good based off of their youth, but they're also going to be players that'll come up for contract extensions. That team will get expensive. Al Horford has been a surprise that he's been this good because of his age. Took a year off in Oklahoma City. There was a lot of feeling that he was done. So it's not a given that just because Boston is this good now that they will stay this good. So the measurement, I don't think, on Jason Tatum is he good or is he bad on the basis of this? Is he good or is he the guy that leads you to the championship?
Is he
to
Kevin point, Durant, right, who last playoffs, phenomenal numbers. Like, look at those, and that was him carrying that team. If you are Kevin Durant, you should be able,
that didn't get this far.
No, I mean, but they lost by an inch to Milwaukee, the eventual champions, right? And so if he were to do that different, if he were to be the guy that even was 7 for 30, but got to the foul line a ton and just said this, I get it. This is the opposite of what people said about what the Boston Celtics need to do
it
changes.
And it's
things
also
change.
You asking them to play differently than they have all season.
Because in the playoffs, it's an entirely different ballgame. Were the Miami Heat being Jimmy Butler or nothing in the regular season? No, they were the opposite of that. But when you whittle down in a 7-game series to great defenses and great coaching, like, that's what carries you. We've talked about this for decades. And so I don't want to change it and change the rules now just because people love Jason Tatum.
Chris Cody, what do you have in the other room milling about in there? Are you bringing us? You've got the breath of salami, and yeah, you're bringing good breakfast scents to the table.
We're watching the golf here. I'm loving my dad right now because I think golf has villains now, because anytime they show Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, my dad just makes a little noise like, huh, this guy. So is that, could it be maybe that golf is doing, remember the Netflix show? Could this whole Liv thing just be like a character for this Netflix special? And it's like now they have villains? Because my dad is more into golf now because he likes to
That's what
golfers.
It took, Saudi blood money?
Yeah, it's certainly it's a U.S. Open like none before, because golf is in the middle of what could become a full-blown civil war in men's professional golf. And we haven't really seen that before. And yeah, when you see Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson, the two guys out front in the Live movement, they do wear a black hat right now, metaphorically.
What are you muttering, though? It's just, like, I literally just keep hearing you going,
duh, duh. Yeah, well, yeah, no, I can imagine your father now, the politics has seeped so deeply into what it is that he's watching, and it's not the politics in the world, it's the politics of golf. You have messed with his...
Men's golf. He actually did a good thing there, Dan. We've just been saying golf, but it is men's golf.
Molf.
LPGA. Correct. Still going strong.
Yes, and I'm sure that is what Greg Cody is preoccupied with now as he harumphs under his breath. And why are you harumphing? Because Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson are dirty, traitorous money grubbers?
Yeah, and by the way, to Jess's point, if the Saudi money decided that women's golf was big enough to throw millions at, they would do it, and the women would run after the money, just as they would if this happened in tennis.
They're not going to invest billions of dollars in women's golf.
Correct.
The premise
if they would, the female Dustin Johnsons would run toward the money too, because it's a money grab, and unfortunately,
greed is gender neutral.
That's correct. That is correct, and that's what we're seeing right now. The PGA Tour has all the tradition. They have the fact that they're not offering blood money like the Saudis are. And it's a fact that if you're in the Live Tour right now, you are sacrificing a little bit of your soul to do what you're doing. It just, in my opinion, that's just a fact.
Chris Cody, I want to test out your broadcasting chops right now. And can you give us a leaderboard update? Can you take us through what's going on right now at the U.S. Open?
Did you just say, in my opinion, that's just a fact?
In my opinion, that's just a fact. That's correct. Nowadays, we can't agree on what a fact is, so I have to equivocate.
Yeah, you must have listened to yesterday's show, too.
Witty, yes, I do have an update for you. The homie, actually, Max Homa, just got a birdie. He is now at 2 under. We have 5 people tied at the top, -2. John Rahm, Morikawa, Homa, Naismith, and Munoz. Rory McIlroy, 1 back at -1. Did you see yesterday Rory's icy moment on the driving range with Kevin Na? He walked right by him, and Rory said, nah, not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Well done.
I'm a big Max Homa guy.
That was a good show.
That's my boy.
Chris, as a golf expert, is anyone better at leading after 15 minutes of a golf tournament than Max Homa?
Oh, dude. He is so good at that.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is anyone better at leading after 15 minutes of a golf tournament than Max Homa?
The homie.
Have you guys ever talked about how Chris Cody is probably the best thing to happen to Greg Cody's career? I've been thinking about this the other day.
Vice versa, too.
Hey, Greg knows I love him, man. He created Chris, so it's okay. It's not an insult.
Thank you, Iz.
But I feel like, you know, before Chris and before this show,
love it.
And I know this is obviously a connection to you here, but Chris has obviously elevated Greg as well and let, you know, the world in on the real Greg Cody. And now this version of Greg Cody, the previous greatest thing he ever did was like the awkward bird. What was it called?
The upset bird.
The upset bird, excuse me. And so,
Not the awkward bird.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to do an awkward bird. That's
the only
word I could
character
think
of. To console for football picks.
But yeah, I think that Greg Cody has just lifted his father up, and together they are, you know, spectacular.
Wow, I don't know how to respond to that. I mean, I had a nice little career going before Christopher was born, but still, to your point, he's been a wonderful influence on me, and he's
blossomed.
But
you're lovable now, though. I've seen you at these Miami Heat games. You are not lovable. Greg Cody is not the guy you see walking around these arenas. Like, you don't want to talk to anybody.
Right. Huh.
You're very...
I'm antisocial.
You covering a game, it's like so odd, because everybody else is like in the media room talking and stuff. You're in and out. You don't want to talk to anybody.
That's correct. I'm not a people person.
Well, even when we have work things outside of the studio, Greg's always very chatty when he's in these confines. But then we'll go to like a highlight game, and Greg kind of just, you know, keeps to himself in the corner. He's a very quiet man.
Yeah. No, I am antisocial. I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm a very reserved person by nature.
Me too.
So this
Which is why he has, you know, clips his toenails on the Levitard show all the time.
Has our COO shave
his back. It's because he's so reserved.
Yeah, my toenails, by the way, are in the best shape they've ever been
in. Don't take your shoe off.
Other than the left great toe is about to fall off. It's black, which is not a good thing in a toenail. So anyway.
I just ain't breathe, man. I don't need to hear this.
How about some golf, huh? Nothing goes like with Miami wine like golf, and vice versa. I'm telling you that. And that is a fact, Jack.
Driving your flavor forward, right, Greg?
What did he say? I couldn't hear Billy. I'm sorry. I heard Billy's voice say, right, Greg, but I didn't hear what he said.
Disagree with him. Be a yes
say
man.
Say yes.
Well, Billy's always right. Whenever Billy addresses me, it's in full support. That's why we love Billy on this side of the wall.
What?
Billy is the official person of the Miami-sponsored Cody show watching U.S. Open golf.
Well said.
Bold statement.
Do they want to be sponsoring this family?
I mean, would you?
Just,
I mean, we know a lot about the Codys. I think we know way too much about
for 15 years.
Do police dogs get vacations?
Oh, God.
Anyone got an answer?
It's a really good question.
Or do they just have to take their vacation when their person takes vacation?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Also, a lot of bombs you got to sniff. A lot of drugs you're sniffing. And it's just like, oh, my vacation's when your vacation is?
They do get retirement ceremonies. I can confirm that. I actually recently saw, I think at the
Gold
Heat
Rolex?
Arena. At the Heat Arena, they had a retirement ceremony.
What?
For a bomb-sniffing dog.
That's nonsense.
No, what do you mean? What do you mean nonsense?
Whoa! I love those dogs. Those dogs help get through security so much faster.
Just give them a treat; they'll be good with that.
Put it on the poll. Yeah, you'd be a hell of a union representative for the dogs at Levitard Show. you think everyone can be bought with a piece of salami like you can? The dogs have some dignity.
The dog was probably terrified by that ceremony. Oh, a bunch of people clapping out of nowhere.
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Do police dogs get vacation? Jessica, what was your objection to yesterday's show? Was it the Michelle Tafoya thing?
I didn't say I had an objection. I just, Greg said something about people disagreeing on facts, and I said he must have listened to yesterday's show because there was a lot of disagreement over the facts. In my personal opinion, Dan, that went exactly how I thought it would go, and that was why I was hesitant is probably too flimsy of a word, but hesitant to even have that happen in the first place. I'm not sure what anyone got out of that, positive or negative. It was just, wow, just a weird one.
I went in honestly, innocently on, I've had one experience with Michelle Tafoya. We did Pardon the Interruption together. It was fine. It was lovely. I have not spoken to her since.
I got to be honest. I saw it, saw the headline or the title of the podcast hour and was surprised, turned off by it a little bit, and said to myself, I don't need to listen to that because, as Jess was saying, in terms of arguing facts, I was sure there was going to be some of that in there based on what I've heard her say since she retired. And frankly, I just don't have the bandwidth for that anymore. Like, it's just a ridiculous level of backwards, you know, backpedaling that we're doing as a country, as a world, and everything else. And like, I'm talking about in almost every subject. And like, I don't know if you guys experience this, if it's just me, but like, this has been the most contentious, like, angry Pride Month I've ever experienced. Like, everywhere you look, it's just a fight. And we're sort of backtracking to, oh, I don't believe this, or I don't want to do this. And all of it becomes, you know, if you boil it down to, they just think this is a choice still. You know, when you consider like the Surfside mayor saying, oh, we're not going to put up a pride flag because next the Satanists will ask for one. And I'm just like, are we doing this? Like, are we really going backward on this stuff? Because it's absolutely maddening, and I just don't have, like, the time for it. And I don't have the time to listen to somebody who worked in sports and now all of a sudden wants to come out and be this person. I just do not have the energy for it.
All right, let's step back for a second and rewind on. Once Mike and Roy were in the discussion with Michelle Tafoya, I sat back and I wasn't going to have a bunch of people shouting. I didn't have an expectation for that. It was not gratuitous. It was very much, well, let me see if I can talk to somebody who 15 years ago, and it went off the rails immediately. I don't know what she really thinks, but you are under attack now in Florida. You have seen, 31 masked men in Idaho going to disrupt and terrorize a pride meeting. You have seen that in asking people for tolerance again and again and again, tolerance, the word tolerance, that pride is sometimes a bridge too far. No, I will not be proud of that if I'm a Tampa Bay Ray and I'm going to hide in my religious books. I will not be proud of that. And the one place, and I wasn't going to do Florida legislative talk with Michelle Tafoya for 20 minutes, but I did mention that the legislation now coming through the Florida pipeline that is making DeSantis stronger is homophobic, is making you feel like you're under attack now in a way. When you say we can't be going backward, you know that we are. We're in the middle of going backward, that it's harder to be proud now. It's been made harder in the last 5 years.
Right. And what's, just in a lot of other situations where we have people coming out of the woodwork and saying things that they've thought in the past and now just feel entitled to be able to say it. Like, these are the folks who, when, the entire time when we had, we got gay marriage and we have, more rights and we have some states strike down some laws that say you can be, fired or lose your job if you're LGBT, all that stuff. So they saw progress and they're just like, okay, are we done now? Are we done? Because you guys are equal, which is not even true. And so now you get everybody who's just like, why do we need to hear this? What are we doing? And then the idea, and this is just the go-to, it's the absolute go-to, which drives me insane, is the sexualizing of children. I mean, get out of here. Because what did I grow up around? The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue? Well, I mean, Playboy bunnies and all this. I mean, come on. Like, kids have been around sex their whole time. But now all of a sudden, when it's, a sexuality that is not the norm, it becomes about sexualizing kids. You know when I knew when I was gay? When I was a damn kid. Okay, and that's when I would have wanted to know more things. And so, you look at in the pop world, there's like Lil Nas X, who I consider an absolute bleeping hero. All right, an absolute hero, because if there was like an unapologetic pop star who was out when I was young, and no offense to like Elton John and all that, but if they were unapologetic the way he was currently, I would be so empowered. It would be an entirely different situation. And so just going backward, when we see, individually that there's progress in certain places, going backwards as a group and it being as just as obvious as anybody can see, like it's tiring. It's like it takes everything out of me not to just like give up and just not even talk about it anymore and look the other way. But that's exactly what they want you to do.
Is there a way for that Tafoya conversation to go well in 2022? Is there?
No,
it's not salvageable. I can't even try to make this anything other than an echo chamber. You're telling me it's going to be...
Echo chamber is not, like, I don't even understand why you use that word, because that, like, I don't think that there's anything, when you have someone on who believes in things that are just factually incorrect and is going to say things on a big platform that are just factually incorrect, I don't think you can get anything out of that. I don't think you're going to change her mind. I don't think you're going to change anyone in the audience's mind. I think people are going to gravitate towards whatever they already believe. And I don't think anyone gets anything out of an interview like that, which is why I didn't think we should have her on in the first place.
I don't go into conversations like that. I really don't. And I didn't go into that one that way either. I don't assume... I don't know anything about her other than the one meeting that I've had. I know what I've read, but all my interaction with this person when it was a colleague and a human being was a good interaction. And so I don't assume that the next conversation with me on air is going to be a fight immediately. Why do I have to assume that? I got to get that cynical?
I'm with you. No, I actually believe that I go into conversations, even with people who I were to believe, believe the exact opposite that I do, hopeful. I go into conversations hopeful that logic will, or emotion or just natural empathy will work in those situations. But as Jess is saying, when you've got people who are so dug in on false things, like just things that are not true, period, that you can prove, then it's a useless conversation. Once you're arguing about things that are true and whether that, then it's absolutely a useless conversation. You can't get past that.
And whether it's useless or not, I cannot know until we've tried to have it.
Agreed.
And I can be defeatist on it on the front end. I'm not actively repelling these people. I've always wanted to have these conversations. I'm just as flummoxed about the fact that we are not talking about facts, that we're arguing about things that should otherwise be facts. But we're talking through all of the crises that are everywhere throughout America and beyond the globe. My friend, Izzy, who had a great deal of difficulty navigating this world, male, Hispanic, sports, is vulnerable in 2022 America in a way that I thought we had progressed beyond. I know that progress isn't linear, but I didn't think the step back would be this violent, where my friend who has been like found great strength and inspiration and helped so many others by just being publicly proud, being able to break free of previous shackles, the idea that we send that back into retreat through legislation.
And it's through, and honestly, I think where they've been empowered is through attacking the transgender community specifically. Because when they go to the transgender community and attack them, and you have people who just don't really have education on it and then just blindly back them, then they throw all the alphabet together all of a sudden. Then it's just, you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. It's all of us. And so they've done, starting with the bathroom bill in North Carolina to everything else, you know, currently with the, kids in school and everything else in the medical care. It's been a concerted effort, and it started with that.
We will get all of Greg Cody's thoughts into the wine on the U.S. Open leaderboard. He is frustrated because he hasn't gotten to speak in a while. And we're an hour in. And what hasn't been promoted, Cody?
We're promoting Meiomi wine, the official wine of golf.
We were actually just talking back here about how my dad, for someone who plays golf a good amount, is one of the worst sand players in the history of life. For somebody that plays golf more than 10 times a year, it's hard to be as bad out of the sand as my dad is. And I was thinking of, where are you the worst in your life, Dan? Something you do more than 10 times a year, not just for Dan, anyone in the room, something you do a lot, but you're still really terrible at it.
Sex.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.